Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, it was a great day yesterday for the Saints, and I know it was a fun day if you were watching that. As you know, I was involved with a lot of other people from the station in the Manning Family Children's holiday parade, big Christmas holiday parade that took place yesterday. It was postponed from Saturday because of the weather. And it's a good thing because, you know, Saturday was kind of misty and it wouldn't have been the best day for a parade. You know, it was about an hour or so before parade time, and the sun came out, but then there were some clouds, but it really turned out to be a nice day yesterday afternoon. I saw so many of our listeners, and I appreciate all of you shouting. I appreciate all of you who listened to the show. I couldn't get something to every one of you. But I did hit a lot of you with beads or whatever the things that we were throwing. I have no idea what I got to the different people, but I got a lot of stuff out there to a lot of people. And man, some of you are really good catches, you know, because I threw it right to you, and it was a completion. So I think my completion record was pretty good at the end of the parade. Tyler Shuck looked great yesterday. The Saints looked great yesterday. Well, that's what I think. I didn't see the game. I was at the parade. So here's what I want to do in this first hour. I want you to give me your assessment of the Saints game yesterday. This is the first time I can remember when I didn't see a Saints game. In town, didn't get a chance to see it because I was in the parade. Glad that I was in the parade because it's for Manning Family Children's, and that's just a worthwhile cause. And it's great to see all of you. And even though there was a Saints game going on television, there was a massive crowd in the streets for the parade route. And I was really kind of amazed because in the morning the weather wasn't that great, but it just turned out to be a nice day and a lot of people showed up. So thanks to all of you who came out. Your kids are cute. Many of you are cute. And it was just it was a fun event. But I didn't see the game. So, you know, here's your chance to kind of summarize this. Think back on the game. Now, I heard that it rained early on. This is stuff that I didn't know. I saw some highlights of the end of the game. And based on the score and based on what I heard, it seems like Tyler Shuck showed a lot of improvement. And that's what fans should expect. That's what I've been talking about all along. The Saints as a team and Tyler Shuck over a couple of weeks not showing improvement, well, it kind of all came together, and he seemed to have done a great job yesterday. But I want you to tell me your impression of the game. Kind of summarize the game for me, and just let me know what you thought of the game. I know you've talked about it with people. I know you have thoughts in your mind about the game, but just overall, give me your impression of what happened in the Saints game yesterday, and I'll take that from you, and then I'll know how the Saints did. If you want to give us your report on the Saints game yesterday, the good and the bad, because there's you know, not everything is right. The good, the bad, and even some stuff that is kind of ugly, as long as it's not the players. So let's just talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the game yesterday, and tell me what you thought. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I did watch the Tulane game Saturday night. Tulane beat North Texas, and it was a spanking. Tulane was dominant in winning the AAC championship and now move on to the college football playoffs. Tulane in the college football playoffs. This is just a reminder that you never know how things are going to turn out when it comes to sports. LSU was supposed to be in the playoffs. LSU was supposed to have a chance to actually, you know, go far in the playoffs and maybe play for a championship. That was the anticipation of the beginning of this year. LSU was touted as a team that was going to get to the playoffs and fight for the championship. And Garrett Nussmeier was talked about as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Well, neither of those things worked out. So just think about this. LSU's not in the playoffs, and Tulane is in the playoffs, and I just think this is, I think it's extraordinary. I think it's so great for Tulane. And so Tulane, with their coach John Summerall, because he's going to coach until the end, whenever that happens, Tulane beat North Texas, and now they move on to play Ole Miss in Oxford in the first game of the college football playoffs. Now, Ole Miss beat the dew out of Tulane earlier this season. It wasn't even a fair fight. Lane Kiffin was the coach. And the team is good. And in fact, Ole Miss is good. They're very good. But Tulane, I think, is a better team now than they were then. And I'm not just saying this because Tulane is in New Orleans. I think Tulane is going to give Ole Miss a hell of a fight. And I think Tulane could win the game. Because I think emotion is on Tulane's side. I do, after the big victory over North Texas. And the way they're playing for John Summerall, I think Tulane has a chance to win. They're a huge underdog. If I were gambling, if I were a betting guy, man, I would take Tulane in the points. Now, again, you know, you don't necessarily have to take my advice because you never know what's going to happen in sports. And Tulane is one hell of a team. But I often talk about how important emotion is when it comes to games. And emotion is more important than talent in a lot of ways. And history is filled with cases where a team that maybe wasn't as talented won because of emotion. And I just think Tulane has emotion on their side, and I think they're going to play Ole Miss a hell of a game, and they might even win. So that I think that was just an extraordinary moment over the weekend, and I love seeing that. And North Texas, this was a prolific offense that, you know, couldn't do anything. And they were like the highest scoring offense in the country in college football. And they couldn't do anything. So that was, you know, Tulane's defense. And I don't know what happened, but they just got totally psyched out in that game. And they weren't doing anything. There was a lot of excitement in sports over the weekend. Last night on Sunday Night Football, the Texans went into Arrowhead Stadium and beat the Chiefs. I'm all for it. Nothing against Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce, his girlfriend, nothing against any of those people. But I'm tired of the Chiefs winning. And it looks like the dynasty might be over, but maybe not, because the Chiefs are not out of it yet. They're still in the hunt, but they're, I think, 6-7 now. And this is a very unusual position for the Chiefs to be in. And losing at home is especially unique for the Chiefs. It doesn't happen under Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes had three interceptions last night, and the Texans have one of the best defenses in the league, and they brought it last night, and the Texans beat the Chiefs. And they were making a comment last night. The commentators were making a comment that you know, we always talk about the offensive teams, the teams that have the big offensive the big offensive lineup, the ability to score many points, like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and you know, many others. It's just rack up the points. But teams that have strong defenses can win, and they just need an offense to just do enough. And I think they feed off of each other. When the defense starts killing it and giving the offense the ball right back, the offense gets charged up. So I don't know. The Chiefs are going to have a hard time making the playoffs, and this is a very unusual position. And it could be, I don't know yet, but it could be that the dynasty of the Chiefs is history. Oh, also over the weekend in college football, championship weekend, Indiana ranked number 2. Ohio State got beaten. Ohio State was number 1. Indiana beat Ohio State. You know, I like seeing that because, you know, I like the underdog to win. They weren't much of an underdog, but, you know, Ohio State has been winning all along, and I just kind of like seeing that. So I don't remember the last time Indiana was in this position, but I can't remember the last time they were in a position like being number 1 in the country. So it's fun to see somebody different up there. All right, so look, here's what I really want you to do. I would love for you to recap the game for me yesterday. What did you like? What was really good? What did you think of Tyler Shuck? I didn't get a chance to see the game because I was in the Manning family children's holiday parade and locked up with that most of the afternoon, so I didn't get a chance to see the game. I feel a little bit lost. So what did you think of the game? I want you to recap the game for me. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And while somebody else is doing it, you know, you may have other thoughts. You may disagree with some things that some people are going to say. But I'd like you to totally recap the game yesterday and tell me what you thought of the Saints' victory over the Bucs on the road at Tampa Bay. And that's another thing. You know, why can't the Saints start playing like that at home? You know, usually teams have trouble winning on the road, and they win at home. It seems like it's almost the opposite with the Saints. And they've got to figure out a way to start winning at home. I mean, you know, we go to games. We actually want to see them win. We want to witness it, not on television, on the radio, but we want to witness it in person. We want to see that victory. We want to feel it in the dome. And it's time that they really figure out a way to get that back. And I don't know, you know, maybe they're getting it back. I know it's a rebuilding year. The only thing that I have sort of reflected as far as fans are concerned is even in a rebuilding year, you just should show progress. And for a long time, the Saints weren't showing a lot of progress. So there was progress yesterday, and let's see if they can keep that up. All right, you got a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke, our senior producer at the controls in the other studio, good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you too as well.
Hey, how was your weekend?
It was great. You know, I went on Saturday night to KJ's Place, which is a karaoke lounge in Kenner that I had never been to before. And let me tell you, KJ's, they were so great. They've really got it together in there. The acoustics are great. They got great drink specials. Everybody's very friendly. They were excited to have us there. And I just couldn't wait to get here and tell you about KJ's Place. You know, we go to a lot of karaoke bars. I've had a lot of different types of karaoke experiences. KJ's was great. Little family-run bar on Metairie Avenue. Go check it out.
Oh, cool. All right, cool. All right, you got a comment? You want to recap the Saints game for me? Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You can do it in a text, but I really want to hear some of you, like, be the sports reporter and tell me what you thought of the game. Analyze the game for me. This is for Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. Man, in the beginning of the season, the Bucs just seemed like early on they were invincible, and Baker Mayfield was the second coming of quarterbacks. But he has had some difficulty in recent weeks, so we'll see what happens as time goes on. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Manic Monday, and don't forget, don't be too bummed out. Weekend's going to be here before you know it. And we'll be back on WWL. It's December the 8th, and it was on this day in 1980 that John Lennon was murdered. I've told the story before, and I do it every year. I'll tell the story again for those of you who are new to this show or those who haven't heard it. But the way I heard about John Lennon's death is just a reminder of what it was like then compared to what it's like now. And we'll talk more about this later. And I'm going to feature music. Our bumper music in the 3 o'clock hour is going to either be John Lennon or songs that John Lennon was the lead singer on when he was with the Beatles. Beatles songs sung by John Lennon. So a very, very sad day. And I think the true irony is that the Nixon administration and the FBI tried desperately to deport John Lennon. He was against the Vietnam War, which was essentially being against the United States government. And they looked at John Lennon as a national security threat. And they tried desperately to deport him. And it never worked. And he finally got his green card. Anyway, isn't it ironic that John Lennon fought to stay in this country where he was murdered? And I can't help but think that had he been deported, he might still be alive today. We'll talk more about that in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. I hope you had a great, great weekend. And I want to talk about the Saints game. It feels weird that I didn't see it. I don't have a firsthand analysis of the game. So I want you to give that to me. I want you to tell me what you thought of the game yesterday. Who was good? Who was bad? How was the coaching? How was the play calling? The Saints won. I think it was 24-20. And it sounded like at the very end, like they had a chance to give it away. I mean, they had a chance to lose the game, but they didn't. And that was really impressive to me. What did you think of Tyler Shuck? Do you think he's the quarterback? It seems like he was awesome. Ran for 2 touchdowns. I think threw for a touchdown as well. So Tyler Shuck seemed really effective yesterday. So I want to know what you thought of the game. Recap it for me. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to the parish. Jerry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good.
All right. I watched the whole game, and I'll put it to you this way. It just blew me away. They look like a different team from top to bottom. The offense was Tyler Shuck was unbelievable. I mean, he looked like a real quarterback. I mean, he's definitely got talent. He's got a great set of wheels on him. And the play calling was really good for once, you know. But the defense was magnificent. I mean, Baker Mayfield and the Bucs came in on a high, and the defense just shut him down. Now, the only negative thing I saw was the coach Moore. He's got to get a little more gutsy with these referees when they make terrible calls. I mean, he just kind of stood there and took it off.
You saw some bad calls in the game?
I did. I saw at least 2 really bad calls, he's got this red flag in his pocket. What does he think it's for? You know, when you see a terrible call, and I noticed that some of his staff is up in the booth watching all this crap, you know, and I'm sure they call it down and say, man, that's a bad call, but he didn't do anything about it. But it did matter in the end. The Saints came out charged up.
I mean, well, that's what I want to ask you. You know, did they come out? Did they come out fired up? Did they look active in the very beginning of the game?
Yes, they did. And that was they were sharp. The defense was brutal. I mean, they just crushed Tampa Bay, and I couldn't believe that. I mean, it really looks like to me, Scoot, that they really starting to come together as a team. You know. I know they're in a rebuilding phase, and it takes time for that to gel, but it really looks like it's starting to gel.
Well, that sounds great. And, Jerry, you did a great job, and I appreciate that recap of the game. And thanks for calling from the parish. So, yeah, if you want to add to what Jerry said, if you want to join us with a comment, I want you to recap the game for me, because I was in the Manning Family Children's Holiday Parade yesterday, and I didn't see it. And, you know, I mean, did the Saints come out? It sounds like they came out on fire, that they came out fired up. I don't know why they can't do that in the Dome. You know, the way they played the game yesterday seems like the way they should play games in the Dome. Most teams do better at home than they do on the road. So I need you to recap the game for me. What stood out in your mind? What stands out in your mind about the game yesterday? Didn't see it, but I'd like to build a conceptualization of what happened yesterday, so I can kind of place that in my mind as I continue to cover the Saints this season. But, you know, because of my commitment yesterday to be in the holiday parade, I didn't get a chance to see it. So I need you to tell me what stands out in your mind about the game yesterday, and how did you feel about the Saints win? The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504 888-260-1870. Let's go to Eric in Biloxi. Hey, Eric, welcome to WWL.
Hey, it's good. How you doing? I'm not going to talk about football. I'm talking about the men's radio fundraiser last weekend. I was part of it. But one thing is really appalling and disturbing. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know how many millionaires that they have in Louisiana? Do you have any idea?
Do I know how many what?
Millionaires are in Louisiana?
No, I don't. I know we have quite a few, but I don't know if we have more than any other. We have a lot of them.
87,000 millionaire households. Now, I listened today on the fundraiser, it was $172,000.
Right.
So where are the big corporations? Where are the big businesses? Where are the millionaires that contributed to this thing?
And you Eric, you contributed, Eric?
Yes, I did.
And so it sounds like what you're saying is, if you can contribute, where are the millionaires, where are the big corporations to contribute their fair share, like their proportion of what you gave? Why can't they give that amount proportion to what they have?
Well, what I'm saying is, this is also, I mean, you know, people, the regular people give them, but you got 87,000 millionaires and you got 172,000. I mean, you do the checks and balances on that. It should be well over $1 million raised that weekend. Yeah. Well over, you know. The Walmart, the Firestones, all these different auto mechanic business. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, a lot of millionaires and a lot of companies do give. In the case of Manning Family Children's, I don't know what the statistics are in terms of how many people gave. I understand what you're saying, but I'll tell you, Eric, we are really proud of people like you, and we are really proud that as a station and a cluster of stations, because this was all part of the Odyssey New Orleans, which is Magic 101.9, B97 and Bayou 95.7, and of course WWL, we're thrilled that we were able to raise $172,000. But yes, there are always companies, there are always millionaires who could give more. Let's say somebody's making $50,000 a year, and they give $20. I wonder what the proportion of that would be if somebody was making $1 million. I mean, you know, I think what people are asking is, and this is about life in general, those who have more, why can't you give proportionately as much as those who have less are giving? If you want to join us with a comment, Open Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. Let's take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to go to Jamie, who's in the lower ninth ward. I'm asking for people to recap the Saints game for me because I missed it. And I hate that I missed it. What was the rain like in the beginning of the game? And apparently the Saints came out on fire. And that's something that we don't always see. So what impressed you about the game yesterday? I was in the holiday parade, missed it, so I need you to tell me about this game so I can have this conceptualization of what it was like when the Saints beat the Bucks. So you watch the game, you listen to the game on WWL, what did you think? Oaken Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. All right, Manic Monday, December the 8th, and I love that it feels like December. Love this holiday season. Hey, it's going to be cold tonight. In fact, you might have to protect some of that tender vegetation, especially on the North Shore. Hey, I'm going to bring in the plants again. I just put the plants out. I'm going to bring them back in, and that's what we do this time of year. I'm Scoot on the air. I hope you had a great weekend. And again, thanks to all of you who turned out for the Manning Family Children's Holiday Parade. A lot of hot air balloons, helium balloons and floats. And it was so much fun. And I saw the faces and heard the voices of so many of our listeners. And I tried to get stuff to you. I got stuff to some of you, but I couldn't get stuff to all of you. But anyway, thank you for being part of that, because it's a great annual event. Let's go to Jamie in the lower ninth ward. Jamie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, school buddy?
I'm good. You watched the game yesterday.
Oh yeah, but only thing I just feel like they play better when the season is over for them. You know, for some reason it's like, long as nobody ain't watching, they play good. But when you're watching them, they're nervous. That's just my
well, and that would, you know, maybe that would explain why they don't do well at home. And then you got to think about, okay, these are grown men, but is it the job of the coach to make them relax and to just make them, you know, feel like, you know, you got to go out and have fun. And it sounds like they had a good time, and you always have good times when you're winning. But that's an interesting observation, that it is kind of over for them. So they just kind of went out there. And, you know, this is something I talk about often. If you try too hard, it doesn't matter what you do in life. If you try too hard, whether it's playing football or a sales presentation, you're not going to succeed. You kind of have to act like it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so you feel like they kind of acted like it didn't matter, and they're on the road and not much is expected of them, so let's just go out and kick ass.
And that's how I feel. Like, we don't got nothing to lose. Let's go out there. And that's what they did, bro. And, you know, they played a real good game, bro. But they played a real good game when it don't count no more.
Yeah. Well, they need to start doing that when it does count. And there's a way to do that, Jamie. I mean, there's a way to calm yourself down, and there's a way to not put yourself under pressure. And again, you know, football can be a metaphor for life. Football is the job of these people. But whatever job you do, you know, learn this lesson. You know, if you get uptight and if you try too hard, then that's going to be a problem.
Right. And I totally agree with you, Scoop. But thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jamie. And listen, thank you for listening. I appreciate that you're there, man.
I appreciate you, man.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You know, I mentioned Pat Riley's book the other day, which is The Winner Within. And Pat Riley was a top NBA coach. I think he was with the Lakers. I think he's with the head office of Miami now. But in his prime, Pat Riley was among the best. And he wrote a book called The Winner Within. And in my life, I've read that book at least four times, maybe more. And I highlighted it, and I would go back and I would read stuff. And it's about being a winner. And one thing that Pat Riley said, and I do remember this, he said, you got to, when you're doing something, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever your job is, you got to act like nobody, you got to dance like nobody's watching, and you got to sing like nobody's listening. Because if you realize how many people are watching or listening, you might get uptight. And when you're just alone by yourself, you're going to dance and sing and just kill it. But if you did that when people are around, it would be very impressive. But when people are around, sometimes you get uptight. And I wonder if that is the key to kind of figuring out what's going on with the Saints and home games. Are they trying too hard? I mean, it doesn't look like they're trying too hard at times, but are they just trying too hard in front of the hometown crowd? And when they're on the road, it's like, oh, what the hell? We're on the road. Let's just go play football. And they do, and they win. You know, an impressive win on the road against the Panthers, impressive win yesterday against the Bucks. Maybe that's the key. Maybe the team is just trying too hard. Let's go to Metairie and Whitney. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Whitney.
Hey, it's good. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hey, you know what? I think you're right. Maybe they ought to play all 17 games away from home, and they might do good. Bro.
Yeah, or do this. You know, get the players on a plane, charter a plane, fly around for like 2 hours, and then bring them back, and then it would be like they're out of town.
Yeah, you're right. That's cool. But anyway, look, the most thing impressed me was the defense. I cannot believe that the defense stopped them five times on the, like twice on the 50-yard line, you know, on fourth down, you know, and that's, I mean, good. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's good. You know? That's good.
And then they went down there and scored, you know, in the red zone a couple of times. So that's something else they hadn't done in a while, too, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hopefully Stanley's defense keeps it up like that. And I know what that man said earlier about it seemed like they played better at the end of the year, but maybe they're just getting used to playing together and the coaches are getting together and, you know, doing the right thing for them. So
yeah, and let's just hope, let's just hope that continues. Yeah. All right, Whitney.
But there's one other thing I want to say about Bobby Hebert.
Yeah.
Yesterday he was talking on the phone, and he seems like he wanted – maybe he wants the Saints to lose the rest of the game so they could get a good draft choice. You know what I mean? That's the impression I got from listening to him yesterday.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, Whitney, I appreciate the call. I didn't hear Bobby yesterday, but I don't think Bobby would be for that. I can't speak for Bobby. Maybe he'll talk more about that this afternoon on Second Guess Live from the Silver Slipper Casino with Mike Dettillier. So I didn't hear it yesterday, so I don't want to speak for Bobby, but I don't think Bobby would be for that. And I'll tell you, there are so many times that I talk about something and somebody has a totally different idea from what I was really saying and what I really meant. So sometimes we hear somebody on the radio and we don't accurately interpret what they're actually saying. But it's great to hear that the defense did a great job. And then I love hearing that the Saints seem to have come out really alive, because they come out in games often in the dome and it's like the dead zone. They're not doing anything. They're not going anywhere. And I wonder if, and this is something the team can look at, if the Saints are more relaxed on the road because they're trying too hard for the fans, that they're choking because they're at home. It is possible. And even though these are professionals and they're paid to do their job no matter where they are, the fact that they won on the road against Tampa Bay, that was impressive. And so they have the talent to do it. They had the talent to beat Carolina. So if they don't win a game, what's the factor? The factor is emotion. The factor is what's in their head. It's not about talent, because the talent has shown they can beat teams. So when they don't win a game, it's what's in their heads. And so, maybe that can be addressed for the next home game, which is coming up. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. I'm getting a recap of the Saints game because I didn't have a chance to see it yesterday. And look, congratulations to the Tulane Green Wave. They beat North Texas to win the AAC championship, and this song is for them. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, it was on this day in 2004 that Dimebag Darrell was shot and killed on stage in Columbus, Ohio. Dimebag Darrell with Pantera was doing a solo tour. Three other people were shot and killed, and this guy went up on stage and shot and killed Dimebag. Shot and killed the star of the show and three other people. It's got to be bothersome to all of us to just hear about things like this that happen. And they're the result of people who are just, crazy or just brazen or hateful and have some kind of a mental health issue that they can't reconcile. So really, that was sad. The guy was a hell of a guitar player. All right, so we'll continue to talk about the Saints a little bit coming up in the next hour. Also, we've got to talk about the Archdiocese bankruptcy settlement with sex survivors. We'll talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Talk about that too. You know, that's a great thought for Monday. It's the start of a new week. It's a chance to start new. It's a chance to start doing something that you feel like you need to start doing or get to something that you need to get to. And I just try to do the best I can to keep us from being down on a Monday because, you know, Monday, it's the beginning of a long week. Last week was going to be tough because, you know, we had the short week the week before with the Thanksgiving holiday, Thursday and Friday. And then last week was a full long week, and we made it. I mean, it didn't take any time for the weekend to arrive. And I'll tell you, before you know it, the weekend's going to be here. So there's something in my life personally that I have not been doing for, I don't know, maybe 2 months now. And I got to get back to it. I'm going to get back to it today. And I've got to get back to this. I'm going to do it today. And I'm going to look at this Monday as the beginning of a new week and the beginning of a new attitude. I'm going to get this done. Hey, I've got an update on the ticket that I got on the North Shore the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. I was pulled over and given a ticket for going down a one-way street the wrong way. And this was on the North Shore approach to the causeway. And I thought, there's no way I did that. I'm a very, very careful driver. And I would never do anything like that. There's an area of the North Shore approach to the causeway that is confusing. There is a sign that makes it look as if there's no left turn, but you can turn left there. And I hope that nobody's getting tickets there. But here's what I found out. I found out that, to my surprise, I did apparently go down a one-way street, inadvertently making a mistake, which I rarely do, but I made a mistake, and there happened to be a Causeway police officer right there, and she was there to call me on my mistake, and she was happy to write me a ticket and not give me a warning. So, that was not the happiest moment in my life, but anyway, the dash cam video from her cruiser shows that I did turn down a one-way street. I still don't know how I did that, I mean, to this day, but look, if I did, I did. And I guess this is just a reminder that no matter how much we pay attention to our driving, we still make mistakes. It would be nice if, you know, if our record shows that we have a good driving record and we're, you know, good citizens, it would be nice if cops could give us a warning. You know, it doesn't seem necessary to, you know, give a ticket to people who aren't, you know, really trying to hurt anybody. And there were no cars anywhere in sight. So going down this one-way street did not endanger anybody's life. And it would have been nice to get a warning, especially Thanksgiving weekend. But no, this particular officer was just really happy to give me a ticket. And I also found it interesting that she always stood behind me. When she was writing the ticket, she always stood by. It's like she did not want to look me in the eye. And I just found that to be kind of interesting. And maybe that's protocol, that they never stand right parallel to you and look you in the eye. She kind of stood just kind of behind me at the window of the car. It kind of slid the citation in front of me. But anyway, apparently I deserved it. So apparently I'm gonna have to pay it. But again, I think in situations like that, it would be nice if police officers could give us a break if we're, you know, I mean, speeding. I mean, going 85, 90 on the causeway, that's endangering lives. You know, this was not endangering anybody's life. There were no cars around, and you know, a nice warning would have brought my attention to a mistake that I made. And you know, whether I was given a warning or a ticket, I'm not going to make that mistake again. If they're so quick to give you tickets, you can't help but think that it's designed to generate revenue, and citizens believe that when you get a ticket when it could very easily have been a warning. When they seem eager to give you the ticket, it seems like they're after the revenue. And, you know, we shouldn't, as a society, we shouldn't have law enforcement going out of their way to generate revenue from people who are just, you know, breaking a law, like making a mistake and making the wrong turn down the wrong street. That's a pretty innocent thing to do. So that's one thing that makes citizens suspicious, that it's about the revenue. So, I mean, in this case, I can't say, I don't know, but I'm going to have to pay the ticket. I might call. I've been advised to call the DA in St. Tammany Parish and see if maybe he could keep it off my driving record, since I do have a great driving record. I would hate for this little mistake to go against my driver's license and cause my insurance to go up even more. But I don't know. Maybe he's not going to be able to do that. I certainly don't want any favors beyond what a normal citizen would get. But we'll have to see. Hey, so listen. Yesterday, they moved the Manning Family Children's holiday parade. They moved it from Saturday to Sunday because of the weather, and the weather Sunday morning was not good. But it started to clear up. It turned out to be a really nice day. There were some clouds, but it still turned out to be a nice day. The crowd yesterday was massive, and I saw so many of our listeners in the crowd. Thank you for recognizing us. Thank you for you know, shouting out that you listen to the show. Thank you for the gestures that you love the show. I appreciate all of that. I tried to get as much to you as I could. I know in some cases I would try to, I had a couple of beads intercepted, but I think my completion record was pretty good. I had more completions than interceptions, but, you know, inevitably somebody would, I wasn't expecting, I've got the target, I'm throwing for the target, and then somebody just comes up and I wasn't expecting them. They just leap out of nowhere and grab the beads or whatever it is that I was throwing. So, you know, I know how NFL quarterbacks feel, that can happen. But anyway, it was a fun ride. And it's just such a great environment to be around, the Manning Family Children's Holiday Parade. And it's an annual event, and it was fun. So I thank all of you for coming out. And again, thanks for those of you who recognized me and the show and what we do here. I met somebody right after the parade. I had just gotten off the float, and this younger woman came up to me, and she said, Scoot, I just want to thank you. I'm from upstate New York, and there are a number of us here. We came here from upstate New York to help after Katrina, and we stayed. And I just want to thank you for your show, because it's so different from every other show on the radio, and we just really appreciate what you do and appreciate your attitude and your, when you talk about politics, we appreciate that. As you know, we have de-emphasized politics on the show. But her name is Christy, and she was just very complimentary of the show. And Christy, I just want to thank you for coming up and saying hi. And when I meet you, when I meet any of you, I get a chance to put a face with the audience, so it's enjoyable for me. I mean, I can still see the faces of many of you who were screaming yesterday during the parade. And it was a fun thing. But I like to put a face with the audience. So, Christy, thanks for saying hi. And I appreciate that you guys appreciate the show. We've been talking about the Saints win yesterday. They beat the Bucs, and toward the end, they had a chance to give it away, but they didn't. But here's the problem. I didn't see the game. And I feel so left out, because I have this vision of every Saints game of the season, but I didn't get a chance to see that because the parade was canceled at the time the game was on. So I missed it. So I'm depending on you to give me your impression of the game. We have more to get to, but we're going to talk about this a little bit more here on the show. Tell me what you thought of the game. What did you think of Tyler Shuck? What did you think of Coach Moore? What did you think of play calling? What did you think of the defense? Here's what I've gathered so far. The Saints came out on fire. There was some rain. The Saints dealt with that. The defense was amazing and continued to stop the Bucs, continued to give Baker Mayfield a terrible day. And it's amazing to me that the Saints seem to play so well on the road in situations like that, and they can't play like that in the dome. And somebody pointed out a few minutes ago that maybe they're just playing with reckless abandon, when they're on the road, and they don't care. And I mean, they care, but they don't. They're not nervous, and maybe they're too uptight. Maybe they're trying to make things happen in the dome in front of the home crowd, and maybe they're trying so hard that they just choke and freeze up and don't do a good job. And it doesn't matter what you do in life, if you're not relaxed, if you act like everybody's watching, you're going to be uptight and you're not going to do the best job, whether it's a sales presentation or whatever you're doing. It doesn't have to be just football. And so, you know, keep that in mind. You know, we have to be relaxed. And as Pat Riley said, and I mentioned this from his book, The Winner Within, you got to sing like nobody's listening, and you got to dance like nobody's watching. And maybe that's how the Saints play on the road. Well, Coach Kellen Moore needs to get that in their brain and kind of remind them that, hey, guys, let's just go out and do it. And maybe he's doing that, and maybe they still don't come through, and maybe they still play a little bit uptight. But hey, let's remember some of the game yesterday. So quarterback Tyler Shuck made friends with the end zone yesterday. His first rushing touchdown came in the third quarter.
Now it's an empty backfield for Shuck, who has a first and 10 at the 35. Shuck keeps it left side, inside the 30. Shuck, 20, Shuck, 10, Tyler Shuck, touchdown for Tyler Shuck, running the football all the way from 34 yards out. That is now the new longest run for the Saints this year, beating Taysom Hill's 29-yarder. Boom.
Wow.
Now, I'm sorry that I missed seeing that, but again, I was in the parade. All right, so, and then the Bucs never regained the lead after his second rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter.
First and 10 for the Saints at the 14-yard line. Moving left to right in a tie game, 17-17. Shuck takes it out of the shotgun. Here comes some pressure. He's in trouble. Escapes it, and now he does escape it. 20, 15, 10. Shuck is going to get his second rushing touchdown of the game as he takes it in for the left side, but he had to escape some pressure. That's all Tyler Shuck.
It sounds to me like the Saints yesterday showed a lot of progress, and Tyler Shuck showed a lot of progress that had been missing in a couple of previous games. After the game, Coach Moore sounded just thrilled to get this win in Tampa Bay. He acknowledged that the season hasn't gone the way they wanted it to, but this victory is a good reason to celebrate.
All right. Fun game, fun battle. I thought just our guys' mindset and the way they prepared this week, obviously, when you've only won a couple games during the season, there's a lot of adversity you faced. And so for our guys to come out and have the energy and the physicality that they played with, I thought was credit to our guys. They're a special group, a group that keeps playing. And all three phases, I felt, contributed to this game back and forth. And so it was a really challenging game for both teams. And so it was big for our guys to come away with the win.
And after the game, a quarterback Tyler Shuck said the Saints didn't go out and play good football. They just had a damn good time.
This is why you play football, you know. You come in here in the elements, just with all your boys, with all your teammates, and we fought really hard. And you know, I was really proud of the O line, just kind of chugging along the whole way. Did a really good job in protection. The defense was making huge stops. You know, I think we did a better job of being a little bit more complimentary, and was just proud of all of our guys. You know, it kind of took everybody, so it was just a lot of fun. That's the kind of thing I'm kind of resonate with me right now. It was just a lot of fun, and I think it just shows kind of how we are as a team.
Okay, guys, then just do that this weekend when Carolina Panthers come to town. I mean, we've done it before. We've beaten them before. We can beat them, and let's just have that attitude in the dome. DD, DeMario Davis, says the attitude that the Saints have been playing with might not always lead to a win, but it definitely sets them apart from other teams who are underachieving this year.
We are as a team. This shows kind of how we, I think, just a lot of fun. And with me right now, it's just, I'm kind of resonating.
It really shows our culture. I think nobody wants to be 3-10. Is that where we are now? 3-10. Nobody wants to be there, but not all 3-10s look the same. And what I mean by that is nobody wants to be in adversity. Nobody wants to be in a storm. Nobody wants to be in situations where things aren't going the way that you want them. But you can either lay down in those times or you can show up. And I think when you look at how we play the game defensively, just go back and look at our entire season, but especially these last 3 and 4 weeks, where the odds were stacked against us. Like, when you turn the tape on, when if there's no commentating, just go watch the film. And what it shows is, like, you would not think you're looking at a 3-10 defense. And that's a testament to our front. That's a testament to our second-level guys. That's a testament to our back-end guys. That's a testament to our coaches. That's a testament to the culture that's being built here. And I'm proud to be a part of it.
See, I love this. This is why it's so much more fun to watch the team in a rebuilding year than to watch the team in a patchwork year where they bring in Derek Carr and they bring in a couple of players to try to, let's just see if we can maybe get to the playoffs this year. Man, the Saints have been doing that for too many years. Patchwork. Just bringing somebody in to just get the fans all excited about getting to the playoffs, but not building anything. So I like the fact that we're now seeing progress. DB Alante Taylor says the defense's success has everything to do with planning, preparation, and communication.
Part of it. And I'm proud to be. It's being built here. Meant to the culture. That's a testament. That's to our coaches. That's a testament to guys. Testament to our back. That's a testament level guys. To our second. That's a testament to our front. That's a testament.
I don't know. And I think we got a little.
I don't really know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on there.
So
anyway, Alante.
Give me a few seconds.
It's okay. Alante Taylor said planning, preparation, and communication, and that's good. I mean, look, I didn't see the game, but the outcome was impressive, and I'm happy to see that the Saints are making progress, because that's all we need as fans. We just need to see progress, and it just seemed like they weren't making progress for a few games, and that was kind of discouraging. And then over the weekend, Tulane beat North Texas. I mean, they just drowned North Texas. Tulane won the AAC championship, and now they move on to the college football playoffs. As I said earlier, at the beginning of this season, LSU was supposed to really challenge every team for the national championship, and Garrett Nussmeier was talked about as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Well, neither of those things came to pass, and here Tulane is in the college football playoffs. Now, they have to play Ole Miss in Oxford. Ole Miss beat them badly earlier in the season, but this is a different Tulane team, and I think Tulane is going to give them hell and has a chance to even win that game. All right, here's Alante Taylor's comments.
Man, I think coming into it, man, we just knew, you know, they were going to be aggressive. And, you know, with those four down plays, you know, we were expecting them to go for them. And so I think Coach Staley came up with the right game plan throughout the week. We communicated on the back end and throughout the whole defense, and we were just able to just, you know, get the stops. I think we've kind of been doing that all year. Every now and then we might lose one here or there, but I think we've done really good with getting stops.
All right. It's very encouraging. Let's hope to see more progress this week when the Saints take on the Carolina Panthers. They play the Panthers, right? They play the Panthers Sunday. I think it's a 3:25 kickoff in the Caesars Superdome. All right. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're going to come back with more of your comments. And I love this chilly weather in December as we really feel the holidays upon us. Man, Daniel Jones, a quarterback for the Colts, I think fractured or broke a fibula, a bone in his leg, and he went down. You could tell how upset he was, and so what happens to the Colts from this point on? I mean, you lose a key player. That's one thing. You lose a quarterback. That's another thing. The Eagles and the Chargers play in Los Angeles tonight on Monday Night Football. And somebody last hour said it sounded like Bobby is talking about the Saints tanking for the rest of the season to get a good draft choice. And just instinctively, I thought, no, that's not Bobby Hebert. Bobby doesn't think like that. And I got another text that said, yeah, Bobby did not say that. He said just the opposite. Diane Newman, our operations director, also sent me a text and said, no, Bobby said basically the opposite of that. I didn't think that was, you know, was Bobby. He just wouldn't think that way. There's some people who do, but, you know, Bobby Hebert wouldn't think that way. And I was surprised to hear that anybody thought that he might have thought that. But, you know, sometimes we hear things and it's not exactly the way it was said, or somebody interprets something wrong. That does happen all the time. The person wasn't complaining, just making a comment about that. But no, I think in the spirit of your team, I think you do the best you can to win every game. And setting any kind of precedent of losing on purpose, I think, is just, it's a terrible infection on the culture of a team. Let's go to Dal, you're on WWL. Dal, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing? Dal Thomas, heading north.
All right.
On the causeway. Got some advice, 2 points. Advice to you on how to save money on that ticket. But since you're talking about Bobby, my second point he pointed out, which I did not was aware of, during the WWL talk show with Bobby Abad and Cajun Cannon, he pointed out that the Saints are number two rated in the entire NFL Football League as having the opponent score the least amount of points in the second half. So
that's impressive.
You know, they got to come out fighting. And they did. Yeah. They took the first set of downs and won. Now, as your ticket, what you can do is you go to court, you tell the judge, I'm guilty. I'm sorry, you got to pay the fine. However, you can plead an article. I think it's a 789. I forget the numbers. But you can plead this article, and if you don't get another moving ticket in 6 months, it does not go up to your insurance company.
Oh, that's great. Dal, I appreciate you telling me that. I'm going to probably do that. Because, yeah, look, I made a mistake. I'll pay it. But I just, I don't think it's fair that it goes against my driving record. Technically, I guess it is fair. But, there should be a human factor when it comes to law enforcement and society. And I think this is a case. And this is not just for me, but this is for anybody where, you got a good driving record. You make a mistake. You're not endangering anybody's life. It depends on what the infraction is. And going down a one-way street on the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend where there wasn't much traffic. And in fact, I guess the fact that there was no traffic was an easy reason why I turned down the wrong way down a one-way street. Just didn't seem like that should go against my record. But, Dal, I appreciate that. Also, I appreciate
I'm driving through it right now.
be careful. I also appreciate your comments about the Saints game. And, it's been fun. And I appreciate all of you who have given me your image of the game, your thoughts about Tyler Shuck and the defense and the way the Saints came out. I'm sorry I missed that, but I was in the holiday parade yesterday, and I missed it all. I even missed the point after with Bobby, and I always enjoy that. And I just wanted to get an idea of what it was like, and it seems like the thing that really stands out is that Tyler Shuck was really sharp. The Saints came out with fire in their eyes. I mean, they came out intense. They came out, not intense in terms of being tense, but they came out with just this this attitude, this killer instinct, this really great attitude. And they need to do that in the dome, and they need to just relax and just start kicking ass. But I wonder if it's something as simple as the emotion of the game, because that is a major factor in sports. Emotion is a major factor. The statistics mean something. The matchups mean something. But when you've got emotion on your side, you are not going to lose. And Tulane beating North Texas the way they beat North Texas, that was Tulane's emotion that pushed through. North Texas, one of the highest scoring teams in the country, if not maybe the highest scoring team in the country. And Tulane kept them to practically nothing. And Tulane moves on to the college football playoffs. And this is a great honor for Tulane and for John Summerall, who's going on to coach the Florida Gators, which LSU is going to have to meet them in regular season play. I think they'll play. There's so many teams in the SEC that I don't know if they play every year, but they'll meet LSU. Will meet them often. Tulane is promoting offensive assistant coach Will Hall to the position. He was also head coach at Southern Mississippi, the Golden Eagles in Hattiesburg. So let's hope he continues the tradition of John Summerall. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. There was a sighting of Bigfoot that is drawing a lot of new attention. This happened in East Texas, which is kind of like Louisiana. East Texas, very much like Louisiana. We'll talk about that a little later. But coming up next, let's talk about this judge who has approved the Archdiocese of New Orleans's bankruptcy settlement with the survivors of sexual abuse of priests in the Catholic Church. This was a terrible thing that happened. It happened for years. These people were affected. They are survivors of sex abuse. Their lives were impacted immensely over the years. and the church needs to pay up. And apparently now the church is going to have to find the money to pay up. So we'll talk about that coming up next, because this is a major local decision.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right, so a judge has approved the Archdiocese of New Orleans' bankruptcy settlement with the sexual survivors, the survivors of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. It's a settlement of $230 million. And Archbishop Gregory Amon, former Archbishop Gregory Amon, right? He's not Archbishop anymore, is he? Anyway, he says in this article that we have posted on our website, WWL.com, he says, we are pleased that this is the end of this process. Most importantly, this is about the survivors, and it's very important that they will hopefully, that they will get through this process and find some closure. And the money is not going to make anything go away. But I think the money would be a reminder that this is over, and it is the beginning of closure for so many of these people. The money's not going to make what happened go away, but the money, being awarded money, is a reminder that somebody is held accountable for what they did to you. That's what's important about this. And, you know, the Catholic Church is known for having tons and tons of money, but there are some questions about exactly how much money the Catholic Church has. $70 million is coming from the Archdiocese. $60 million comes from the parishes and charities. $70 million will come from anticipated proceeds from the sale of a senior living facility, and $30 million will come from insurance. And I wonder how many second collections there'll be. Look, as a Catholic, as a Christian, it has been appalling to witness this happening. I think my question to Gregory Amon or to anybody in the church would be, why? I mean, why did you do it? Why did you keep protecting the priests that were molesting children? Why was the church more important than doing what was right? Why was the church more important than doing what Jesus would do? Jesus wouldn't protect these people. God doesn't want these people protected. God wants these people punished. That's the God I know. And there are far too many people who are willing to protect the image of the church because they believe that's more important than doing the right thing. And I would like to hear the words that they would would use to respond to the question, why did you do this? Why did you protect these priests? If you have a comment about anything we talk about, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On the scooter of your calendar, it was on this day in 1947, Greg Allman was born. He would have been 78 years old today, but he died at the age of 69 back in 2017. It was 45 years ago today, John Lennon was murdered, and we've got bumper music featuring John Lennon coming up in the next hour. We'll talk about his murder as well on WWL. All right, it looks and feels like the holiday time is here, and it is, Monday, December the 8th. I'm Scoot on the air. This hour, we're going to talk a little bit about John Lennon, who was murdered 45 years ago today. In fact, John Lennon was murdered on a Monday. And I remember finding out that John Lennon had been murdered Tuesday morning. I didn't know until Tuesday morning. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. And our bumper music this hour is featuring John Lennon, either a song that he sang with the Beatles, he was the lead vocals on, or John Lennon originals. So that's coming up this hour. There was a sighting of Bigfoot in East Texas, and it's getting some attention. You know, we've talked about this on the show recently because there was another allegedly credible sighting of Bigfoot, but a Texas truck driver said that he spotted what he believes was Bigfoot walking along a highway outside of Garden Valley, Texas on November the 18th. Now, this is a report that's been filed with the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, and this figure was 6 to 7 feet tall, dark brown, walking steadily toward the woods, and didn't seem to be bothered at all by traffic. Now, I would think that a true Bigfoot that has somehow eluded civilization for all these years, I would think that they would be very much bothered by the traffic, if indeed it was really a Bigfoot. The sighting has been classified a Class A sighting, which means that it was a clear and it was a close observation. But a lot of people are skeptical. I would like to believe, and I sometimes watch specials about Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster or Sasquatch. That's, I guess, basically Bigfoot and Sasquatch are the same thing, except Sasquatch is the Bigfoot that exists in or allegedly exists in the Pacific Northwest. And also the Yeti, the abominable snowman. There's a part of me that wants to believe that somehow in the deep wilderness of this country, this creature has been able to survive all these years, has been instinctively able to elude civilization, elude concrete evidence that it exists. I want to believe that because it's just, I don't know, it's kind of mysterious. It's such an interesting story. But I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that there would be some kind of creature that has been able to elude the public for this long. But again, I mean, there are some deep wooded areas in the Pacific Northwest and really all over that are just far from civilization. I think it's more likely that there are deep wooded areas where humans don't go. I think that's more likely in the Pacific Northwest than in East Texas. But I think it's possible. So kind of, well, I believe that there are aliens, and I think there are two different topics. There's too much evidence that there are aliens, even though we don't have concrete evidence of that. But I believe that there are aliens. And I would like to believe that there's a Bigfoot out there, but I'm not sure there's a Bigfoot living in East Texas. But I don't know. You know, who knows? I mean, 6-7 feet tall. I mean, the way they describe it, could be, I don't know. Maybe a walk-on for the Houston Texans. I don't know, because it was kind of around the, I guess, the Houston area. Notre Dame is really upset because Notre Dame is not in the football playoffs. At the end of the season, Notre Dame ranked number 11, but Notre Dame missed the 12-team playoff bracket because of Tulane and James Madison. They took up the two spots by earning their conference championships. And then Alabama and Miami took the last two spots, leaving the Fighting Irish out. Now, I know that Notre Dame has just such a tradition that you know, people love Notre Dame to be in the playoffs. Notre Dame remains independent, so they can't get to the playoffs by winning a conference championship. So I understand that they're upset, but apparently they're so upset that they say they're not going to play in any bowl game. And can you imagine how coveted a ticket would be to a bowl game with Notre Dame in any one of the bowl games that is inviting teams? I mean, Notre Dame would be the first team you'd want to pick because, you know, their fans travel. They go there. It's, you know, it's just such an iconic football organization that you'd love to have Notre Dame in your bowl game. But they say, you know, we're not in the playoffs. We're not playing in any bowl game. So the first round of the playoffs are set. Friday, December 19th, number 8 Oklahoma, number 9 Alabama, 7 o'clock at night. Oklahoma, Alabama, that's going to be a good one. Saturday, December 20th, 7th-ranked Texas A&M and 10th-ranked Miami from Florida, not Miami of Ohio, Miami of Florida, at noon. That's Saturday the 20th. Following that at 2:30 in the afternoon. No, actually, I'm sorry. That's going to be at 11 o'clock. Noon is Eastern time. So at 11 o'clock our time, Texas A&M and Miami, Saturday, December 20th. Following that game at 2:30 our time, number 6, Ole Miss, and number 11, Tulane. Again, even though Ole Miss tore Tulane up earlier in the season, this is a different Tulane team. I think Tulane gives them hell and maybe even wins the game. And I think this might be a case where emotion is on the side of Tulane, not on the side of Ole Miss that just lost their coach, Lane Kiffin, to LSU. So I am so excited about that game and so hopeful that Tulane does well. And then following that game at 6:30 Saturday night, December 20th, it's number 5 Oregon and number 12 James Madison. Does James Madison even have a chance against number 5 Oregon? I would think that the printout sheet would tell you, no, they don't even have a chance. But there's a reason games are played, because you don't always know who's going to win. And it's interesting that James Madison gets a chance to play. But, you know, if you're looking for the best game, because this playoff system is set up, you know, a certain way, and it shut Notre Dame out. Maybe Notre Dame in some ways is being punished for being independent. But I think Notre Dame-Oregon would seemingly be a better game on paper than Oregon and James Madison. Now, again, you know, we don't know how it turns out. But I think Notre Dame would be a better match for number 5-ranked Oregon as far as a game is concerned. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens. So anyway, that's the first round of the playoffs, and really excited that Tulane is there. I want to thank everybody for helping me get a concept of the Saints game yesterday, and I love what I heard. The Saints came out smoking. Tyler Shuck was really good. The defense was really good, and the Saints showed a hell of a lot of progress from last week. And that's what we need to see. Not only did they show progress, but they also won the game, beating the Bucs on the road in Tampa Bay. What was it, 24-20? And so, you know, that's impressive, and that's really, really encouraging. And the Saints need to just be more relaxed and just go out with that same kind of attitude that they went out on the field in Tampa Bay with. They need to do that at home in the dome, and they need to start winning back dome field advantage. So anyway, we'll see what happens this week. We'll be talking more about that closer to the weekend. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Jimmy and Gretna, what do you have for us?
Hey, how's it going, Scoot? Yeah, man. Good. Tyler Shuck played great yesterday. I do think we found our quarterback of the future. He might not be Drew Brees, but
good.
If he's a perennial Pro Bowl, that's fine. Not everybody's going to be Drew Brees. And before I forget, quick concert update. Tomorrow night, Seven Dust is playing in New Orleans at the Fillmore Theater. They're a rock band. They're actually doing an acoustic set. For anybody looking for a good show to see this week, they're great live. And speaking of John Lennon and his passing, today was also the day that Vince Neil crashed with the guy from Hanoi Rocks. I think his name was Razzle. in 1984 and died. Vince Neil was drunk and Motley Crue. That happened. Mm. Also, Dimebag Darrell died this day.
I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, and, you know, LSU football, I mean, it's done for. You know, the Pelicans play tonight, Scoot. And, again, I give you a lot of credit for putting a spotlight on the attendance issue. I don't think you're a curmudgeon or being a negative person about that. Tonight, there's going to be 1,500 people there because the Spurs' main attraction, Wembanyama, is out. Now, can the Pelicans win tonight? Yes. But, again, I honestly thought, Scoot, by February the attendance would get this bad. But with it being cold and a Monday night, I expect there to be about 2,000 people in the arena tonight, which is deplorable. But, again, thank you for putting a spotlight on this because it's the same premise with cancer, right? You want to identify the issue and then search for a solution. If you don't know you have stage 3 cancer, you might get killed by it. So I give you a lot of credit. And I'll finish with this about Will Hall, because I'm a Southern Miss alumni. You know, he's the new head coach at Tulane. You know, he had a hard time at Southern Miss, Scoot. His numbers, his record reflected that. He came in at a time when you had to pay players. Southern Miss doesn't have a rich alumni base like Tulane does. So I think Tulane's in a better position. I think they have more money, more financials behind them, behind Will Hall moving forward to pay players, and that's what you have to do. I don't think he was their first choice. Obviously, they wanted the guy, the D coordinator from LSU, but we'll see what happens. The players seem to like Will Hall, and, you know, we're going to see what happens. Again, you know, at Southern Miss, and I followed his career closely, he struggled, but we'll see what happens. Again, he's got more money behind him now.
Well, I'm hoping that Tulane sees something in him that maybe just the average person doesn't know about. Because I hope this Tulane program does continue. All right, I want to thank you once again for being part of the Manning Family Children's Radiothon last week. Odyssey New Orleans is all the stations: B97, Magic 101.9, Bayou 95.7. And WWL combined, we raised $172,000. And it's because of you. It's because of those of you listening to the show and listening to our stations. It's because of the money that you donated. And together, we do make a difference. We make a difference in the lives, the health, the futures for so many children and their families. And what you do is, by giving, is so important. And it does so many important, great things. That thank you. Thank you on behalf of all of us at WWL and Odyssey New Orleans. Thank you for donating, and you help families and kids that need help. Let's go to New Orleans. Dwight, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi, Scoot.
Hi.
I've listened to you quite often, but just put you back on radio just recently.
Mm-hmm.
I after Katrina, I was a manager at Home Depot. I was on my way home from work and turned off of Fort Pike onto the Wrigley's Estates area and spotted a Bigfoot crossing the road.
You saw what? You saw a Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, yes.
So tell me what you saw.
I saw a big six and a half foot, 7 foot creature cross the highway so fast it blew my mind. And I was trying to back up to see him, but I got so scared. I thought about backing up. I just looked at him, saw his eyes in the trees, spotted him, and knew what I saw.
Wow.
I knew what I saw. It was a hook. And then when I started telling people, that guy, you remember the show River Monsters that used to come on the Discovery Channel?
With Jeremy
Wade?
Yeah.
He was in the Honey Island area a couple months after that, looking for the Bigfoot.
Well, you know, when it comes to that area, though, you know, there's not a lot of space between Old Highway 90 and the interstate. And it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of space where some big creature could hide for very long.
Yeah, there's deer. There's big hogs, and you rarely see them over there. There's many of them. I lived there for 30 years. You know, I grew up in a marsh area, never spotted anything like that, never thought to see, I heard it or saw it.
Yeah.
Just when I lived in Slidell, that one particular moment, I think he was as surprised to see me as I was to see him.
And
there wasn't
Dwight,
many people back home.
You don't think it could have been somebody in a costume trying to freak people out?
Not moving like that. No, absolutely not.
Well, if you've got if there's somebody that tall and that fast, maybe the Saints ought to try and get a hold of him.
But check it out now. There's a whole part of that area where you're speaking of that's never been developed on the right-hand side of the Wrigley's Estate. And it's got much area for for something like that to exist. And there's no natural predators for the deer and all that, so I wonder what is.
It's fascinating. I don't doubt that you saw something, and maybe it was that. I would like to believe that there are these creatures, the Rougarou too. These creatures that do exist that, you know, people have not been able to conclusively prove exist, but yet they're there. But again, that area just doesn't seem like it's hidden enough for something like that to hide without people discovering it.
Sometimes things hide right under your nose. Yeah. And I tell you what, until that day, I didn't think so either. But I knew what I saw, and it wasn't any human. Nothing I saw ever could move that fast across the highway and hide in the trees. And I don't tell very many people, but when I heard the comment about the Texas sighting, that's when I say, you know what? If you think this, you want to know, they're local. They're here too.
Well,
I think they're everywhere.
Dwight, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, there could be something here. There could be Sasquatch in the Pacific Northwest, also Bigfoot. There could be Bigfoot in Texas. More than the Rougarou, there are theories of some kind of a swamp monster in the swamps of Louisiana. So maybe so. I remember years ago I saw a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek, and I think it was set in Arkansas, but I could be wrong. But I'll tell you, the movie, The Legend of Boggy Creek, it was scary. I mean, it was really scary, and the idea that something like that might exist was just a really frightening thought. But that was especially for the time, that was a really good movie. All right, we're going to get to some of your text messages coming up. Today we remember John Lennon. It did happen on a Monday. On this day in 1980, John Lennon was killed. John Lennon had an album come out around the time of his death. And this was one of the songs from the album. And when I hear some of the music on the album, I get the feeling that John Lennon had a premonition that he would die. I'll tell you the story about how I learned John Lennon had been killed coming up next. I'm Scoot. It's a cool, cloudy Monday, and we'll be right back on WWL. It was on this day, and ironically, it was a Monday when John Lennon was murdered. The announcement came on Monday Night Football, and Howard Cosell made the announcement in the booth. We're going to get the recording of that for you in just a few minutes. I was doing the morning show. I had gone to bed early. I wasn't that interested in that particular Monday night game. Sometimes I would stay up and watch it. But if I could, I would go to bed because I got up really early. So I was doing the morning show in 1980, and I went to bed early. So I didn't hear the news. And this was 1980. This was before cell phones and before the internet. So it was totally different. It would be totally different today. But I learned that John Lennon had been killed, when I went to a newspaper kiosk in downtown New Orleans in a building right next to the station. I was picking up the newspaper like I did every morning, pick up the newspaper and go upstairs and start going through it. See, even when I was doing music radio, I still talked about the top issues. And there I was alone on this dark street in downtown New Orleans, and the headline read, John Lennon murdered. I don't remember exactly what the headline was, but that was the message. In 1980, there was still some conversation the Beatles might get back together. And for somebody like myself who grew up with the Beatles as a boomer, you know, that was important, the idea that the Beatles would get back together. And what hit me that very moment not only was the sadness, but also the idea that the Beatles would never be back together and that something from my past would never be real again. And I felt a tremendous loss, not only for John Lennon as an individual, but a loss from my past that the Beatles would never be able to get back together again because John Lennon was dead. I've often talked about how ironic it is that John Lennon was the target of deportation by the Nixon administration. The FBI was trying to get rid of John Lennon. I mean, they were aggressively trying to deport John Lennon, and John Lennon continued to fight it. He was never deported. He got his green card. He was able to stay in the United States. And I've often wondered, had John Lennon had been deported, would he still be alive today? He fought to stay in America, where he was murdered. And it's just such a sad day because he was such an integral part of boomers' lives. Those of you who have, you know, hooked up with the Beatles later in life or because your parents listened to the Beatles, I know it's sad to think that John Lennon was killed, but it wasn't as personal to you as it is to boomers who grew up with the Beatles and were still hearing conversations. Hey, maybe they'll get back together again. But the death of John Lennon meant that that would never happen. So here is the actual recording of the announcement during Monday Night Football when Howard Cosell announced to the country that John Lennon had been killed.
Remaining, John Smith is on the line. And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. To go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty bound we have to take. Frank.
And that was the moment in the booth with Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford and others when Howard Cosell made that announcement. But I missed that. So I didn't know until the next morning that John Lennon had been killed. But it was a horrible tragedy, and it was just an interesting moment for boomers because that was the day the music died for us in a lot of ways. And every generation has that person who is killed, and that's the day the music died for them. For Don McLean, who wrote the song American Pie, the day the music died, it was when Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper were killed in a plane crash. That's the day the music died for him. For a young generation, when Michael Jackson died, that was the day the music died for them. For another generation, it might have been the death of David Bowie. So every generation, Kurt Cobain, of course, every generation tends to, unfortunately, have a moment when they say, well, this is the day the music died. It didn't really die. We know that. But something is tremendously lost. Something is dead beyond the person who dies when some famous artist is killed or passes away. It's just it's sad when you grow up and you respect people and you follow them and they're part of your lives. I mean, the Beatles were part of our lives. Michael Jackson was part of the lives of young people coming of age. And when you're at that tender age and you're coming of age and suddenly somebody dies, That's hard. It's hard. And on this day in 1980, 45 years ago, John Lennon was killed. If you want to join us for the comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'll get to your calls, and we are going to get to some of your texts coming up. And this is a classic. It's an anti-war song, and John Lennon, that's the reason he was trying. There were attempts to try to get him deported. John Lennon was against the Vietnam War, which meant he was against the United States government. They took that as a threat. But this is an anti-war Christmas song that has lived over the years. Today we are remembering the murder of John Lennon happened on this day, December the 8th, 1980. What a tragedy that was. Hey, also, listen, I want to take a moment and say hi to Michael. I met Michael. He works at Robert's. This is the Robert's on Allen Tucson Boulevard in Lakeview. And I met Michael last night. He stopped me in the aisle to talk for a minute. He's a big listener. And Michael, I appreciate it. And it was great to meet you. And yeah, Robert's, one of my local stores that I attend, or that I check out because it's right near my apartment. Let's go to the Offshoreman in Venice. Offshoreman, how are you? Hello? Is the Offshoreman there? We'll check back. Let's go to Larry in the truck. Hey, Larry.
Hey, it's a good thing for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for the honk.
Something disturbed me Friday night. We went to the Tulane game. Congratulations to Tulane for winning our championship game. But something disturbed me. We in the stands, we in the first row right up against the football field, and who comes walking along in front of us? Elect Mayor Helen Moreno and her husband. Nobody guards or nothing. That disturbed me. Shouldn't she have some kind of protection going out in public like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think she should. I think she should. She will when she becomes mayor. But again, she doesn't have the ego that Mayor Cantrell has. And so she doesn't feel that false sense of being better than she really is, being more important than she really is. I mean, she had bodyguards when she, or at least one bodyguard when she went to Ireland. I mean, who the hell knows LaToya Cantrell in Ireland? So, you know, I understand that our mayor, any mayor, LaToya Cantrell included, needs to have security, but she just made up excuses to have her security nearby because, you know, she was doing something with her security guard.
Okay, you answered my question. With that said, I know what you're talking about. Okay. Happy holidays to you and your family. Love New Orleans. Love your show, buddy.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. Let's go to Maurepaugh. Bob, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How are you?
I'm good. Bob, answer this question. Does anybody fish in Lake Maurepaugh? I mean, are there fish there? I mean, I never hear about anybody going fishing in Lake Maurepaugh.
So, yeah, it has a ton of fish. And, you know, you go to Man Shack, you have the Man Shack Pass.
Yeah.
It really puts Pontchartrain and Man Shack together. Probably half the crabs you eat come from Man Shack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then, well, what kind of fish? Would you find more fish in Maurepaugh than Lake Pontchartrain?
No.
Okay.
No. Because you might find more freshwater fish fish that can survive in brackish environments.
So it's even more freshwater than Lake Pontchartrain, and that would make sense.
Well, yeah, the Blind River, the Amite River,
yeah,
the Chifuncta River, all flowing into that.
Understand. Lake. Okay, I was just curious. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead with your comment.
So, and by the way, I live on the Amite River, and we never fish. All we do is cut across Maurepaugh, go through Man Shack Pass and end up in West End and go listen to music at Felix on Sundays.
You mean you do that in a boat?
Well, I used to swim when I was a younger man, but, you know, my boyish figure is not what it used to be.
I get it.
You know, and I want to dance and, you know, listen to some music. So,
Yeah,
we take a boat over there.
All right, cool. That's kind of cool. You know, you get in a boat and you go through past Man Shack and you go to West End. That's a fun trip.
Yeah, and I'm originally from Metairie, so I grew up in Metairie, went to school uptown, and long time ago moved away and then moved back and wanted to live on the water. Yeah. So ended up over here.
If you're from Metairie, you're lucky if they accept you there.
Well, you know, times have changed. When I was growing up as a young man, Ascension, Livingston Parish, I don't know if too many people would venture this far from Metairie or New Orleans.
All right, well, Bob, I'm gonna have to get to a break, so I need your comment very quickly.
I just, you know, hearing, you know, about you know, George Lennon and John Lennon and you know, what a horrible, horrible thing. And any person, whether it's Martin Luther King, you know, it was George Floyd, not that he was a public figure, but anyone shot down. And I and I'm not only on your show, but I keep hearing this about John Lennon today, but I haven't heard very much about Charlie Kirk, even very selected news stations, especially not on the George Soros station. A lot was said about it.
Well, first of all, Bob, you're wrong. I mean, this is not the George Soros station. George Soros has nothing to do with programming. Nobody can point to any changes since George Soros's investment company invested in our company. There have been no changes. It's not like Newell Norman and Tommy Tucker suddenly became liberal, and I'm actually moving away from doing politics. So that would certainly not be the assumption from people who think that somehow George Soros has control over this. So I really have no respect for the minds that have been led to believe that somehow George Soros is controlling our station, because he isn't. Secondly, we're not talking about Charlie Kirk, because we're also not talking about Abraham Lincoln. Those are things that happened in the past. Charlie Kirk is still talked about quite often. That was a horrible tragedy, which we discussed at length on this show, but it's not in the news today. And we're talking about John Lennon because it's the 45th anniversary of his death. If that's not pleasing to you, then this isn't the show for you. But this is the way we run things on this show. We don't just talk about stuff, digging stuff up from the past. We don't continue to talk about the same thing over and over and over and over again. We talk about different things. And we've talked about Charlie Kirk when that has been in the news. And we talked about it, of course, when it happened. And today is the day John Lennon was assassinated 45 years ago. So we're talking about that. Here's one of the early Beatles songs that John sang lead on. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, the second guest show live from the Silver Slipper Casino with Mike and Bobby is coming up next. And sad to remember that 45 years ago today, John Lennon was murdered. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Court DP, and most of all, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.